Our scripture this morning is the rest of the Ten Commandments and also from Matthew this morning. Exodus 20, 12 through 17. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land of the Lord your God, that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And then from Matthew chapter 22. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like to it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. All right. I've been trying for us to realize, and we started out 3 weeks ago, remembering that as we started about talking about God, that He is trying to protect His children. That's what these Ten Commandments are. They aren't laws to be burdensome. They are laws to protect us and to help us to live in a way that will be healthy and good and able to help us to relate both to God and to mankind. God didn't put us on an earth with no other people, did He? Some of us live in places where it seems like you can hardly move without running into people. I think of those of you who live downtown and how your houses are right on top of each other. And then I live in a neighborhood and my houses are almost on top of each other. And then some of you live out in the country and you may not even be able to see your neighbors. But you have neighbors, regardless where you live. And God says, I want for you to have a good relationship with Me and with your neighbors. And so He started listing off these things that will help us to live correctly with our neighbors. And He starts off and He said, honor your father and your mother. Now, the word honor. When you go to the Hebrew, any idea what the basic meaning in the Hebrew is? Heavy. Heavy. Well, that's strange. Or weighty. But then it goes on to explain that what it's talking about is that because the person, the object, which in this case is the mother and the father, they are to be weighty and we should consider them as weighty and therefore what they say should be important. So, I just thought it was such a strange way that they would choose a term that was weighty or heavy. But then as you begin to think about it, it was God's way of saying that their word is important. It should be considered strong. It should be considered as a real strong guideline. It should be more than just, well, if you feel like it. And then we become to think about how honor does talk about that. Honor is to actually recognize that the position of mother and father is a weighty position. It is an important position, and we should treat it that way. And then He gives us a promise. If you do this, this is one of those if-thens. If you do this, your days will be long in the land. So, I want you to realize that this is what He starts saying. Okay, there is pluses to these laws. Alright? So, then He says, thou shalt not kill or murder. Alright? Now, I want you to understand, in the Hebrew, this is unlawful killing. It does not mean that you should never, ever kill a person. Alright? It's saying it should not be an unlawful. And I want you to think about this because God then turned around as the Israelites were going through to the promised land, he said, wipe out these nations. That was lawful killing. He's talking about unlawful killing. He's talking about when I'm in relationship, when I'm in neighborhood, I should not kill unlawfully. But he goes ahead and points out that there are situations, we need to understand from the definition, there are situations where murder is something that has to happen. All right? Now, it also put in there with malice or aforethought was a way of explaining what unlawful killing was. Then he says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Can anyone think of a reason why we shouldn't commit adultery? I want you to think for a moment about what it does to the partners. God said when he established marriage, a man shall leave his mother and father and shall cleave to his wife. He doesn't say wives. He doesn't say cleave to anyone that looks pretty. He doesn't say go out and sow your wild oats. But he says cleave to this woman. And the wife is to cleave as well. She is going to now become his family. And they become one. They become one. So, adultery is simply breaking wedlock. Very simple. Thou shalt not steal. Basic meaning, don't be a thief. All right? Then he says, don't bear false witness. False means untruth, a lie, or a sham. Now, I want you to think about that. Sometimes we enter into a sham without ever actually stating a total falsehood. We just leave out a lot of things. Have you ever caught yourself leaving out the things because you don't want yourself, you want to let yourself be left in as good a light as possible? And you see, this is one of the things that we need to recognize. With this, we need to recognize God said, you must forgive. Because I want us to recognize that no one sitting here this morning, no one that's ever been on this earth, other than Jesus himself, lived a perfect life. Each and every one of us has sinned. And therefore, we need to learn to forgive. Jesus said in the prayer, if you forgive, I will forgive you. He taught us this. So, when we recognize that all of us have sinned somewhere, we need to recognize that with that sin has to go forgiveness. One, we have to forgive ourselves for falling short. And I think sometimes for some people that's the hardest part to do. Because we have this idea that I can do it. I was raised right. I'm a good person. My parents were good people. And we forget they were just people. We forget that we are just people and that we will make mistakes. So, I want us to recognize that with a sham, we need to also recognize that there all of us need to remember forgiveness. I think God should have put that in the Ten Commandments, but I guess then that would have made it no longer ten, huh? All right. Then he says, thou shalt not covet. And he goes on to say all the things. And I want us just to think about that for a moment. Because coveting is a desiring for and a longing for, but it's a selfish desire. It's seeing that someone else has something and we don't understand why we don't have it. I don't think that person should have gotten it. Johnny, you shouldn't have gotten that black car because I wanted it. I should have had that car. That's what this coveting is all about. It's to the point where I can't stand the fact that someone else has gotten something. That's what coveting is all about. Now, why did I pick up the Matthew scripture? Because, in essence, Jesus was saying, all of these commandments that I have given you, if you will actually carry out not the letter of the law, but the heart of the law, in these two commands, you will carry out each and every one of these other things. And I gave these to you simply so you could understand how you should relate to each other. If you'll notice, the sermon topic is in harmony with mankind. The first part of the Ten Commandments was in harmony with God. The second part is in harmony with mankind. And guys, we have a ways to go. Who can quote the golden rule for me? All right. That goes right along with this whole same concept. You see, God said, you wouldn't want someone to steal your wife. You wouldn't want someone to try to get your manservant or maidservant or whatever else that you're coveting. You wouldn't want someone to do that to you, so you need to remember not to do it to anyone else. Johnny?
Pastor Rob, of all the sins that the Ten Commandments, adultery would be more of a serious offense to God because there's a vow that's involved in there. God says it's best for a man not to be born to make a promise than make a vow. You see what I'm saying?
Well, all of these are also an offense to God, every single one of them, because we're breaking His laws. So, not just adultery, but all of them would be an offense to God. But God gave them to us so we would know how to relate to mankind.
Well, adultery has that vow, you make a promise to God that you're not going to break your marriage or to commit adultery, as the other ones doesn't have the vows, right?
Well, actually, the Ten Commandments were a part of the vow as well. Okay. The Israelites said, we will do what you say, God. You tell us what to do, we'll do it. That's a vow. So, the difference is, in marriage, the vow is between God, our wife, and the husband, okay? Whereas the vow of the Ten Commandments was before God, okay, and us, if that makes sense. So there's just an additional partner in the marriage vow, okay? So yes, but all of them would be a sin to break any of these is a sin, all right? All right, but this is the beautiful thing. Has all of us failed somewhere? All right. So, hallelujah. We need to shoot for the goal. But when we fail, we know that the blood of Jesus, the Messiah, is what takes care of that situation. Okay? So, when we go through this and see, I think this is one of the things, because sometimes the Ten Commandments convict us, and so we don't want to hear that. How many of us like for God to convict us? It's uncomfortable, isn't it? At the least. At the least. But we have to remember, if we don't have conviction, then we can't ask for forgiveness, can we? We need for God to convict us. We need for God to say, to help us to realize that we did fail. Because if we didn't recognize we failed, we wouldn't know we needed a Savior. And then the whole sacrifice of Jesus. And this is what's so sad. Think of how many people on this earth are missing out on the sacrifice of Jesus. There are so many who either just refuse, well, I don't believe in God, or I don't want to listen to His word, or everyone's doing it. We come up with ways to justify our actions, to make us feel better. Whereas these commandments, these words, and I don't want us to lose the Matthew scripture, you see, because this is what He's trying to say. These are two things, and if you live this way, you will be in harmony with mankind and in harmony with God. And so, this is what we have to recognize. But I want us to get beyond that whole concept of a heavy burden. And so I want us to, the first week I remember singing to you, grace, grace, God's grace, in between every commandment. And it's because we don't see the grace that's in the commandments. When it was His love and His grace that was actually why He put them there in the first place. Because he wanted what was good for us. And as we seek his Holy Spirit's guiding, and this is what I want you to hear this morning. You can put these Ten Commandments up on your wall. You can put them by your door. You can put them on your forehead. You can put them wherever you want. That's not going to make you follow them. God's Holy Spirit is the only way that you and I will continue to get better and better and better at our walk in Christ. But if I never take the time to read about what God said was important, then I am open to Satan's deception. And so you see, protection, God's grace, and laws go hand in hand. They go hand in hand. So that's my closing word this morning and my closing on this whole Ten Commandments. I hope that we now no longer see them as a burden, but as protection. We've talked about the electrical outlets. We've talked about all kinds of things that we have to learn to be protected from. You know, this last week, I took one of the rabbits out of its cage that I have, and she has some new babies, and she wasn't that I took her out of the cage, and she began to scratch me. And I have some nice scratches on my hands and on my arms. Now, if I'd been thinking, I'd had on long sleeves and I had on gloves. Did I have on long sleeves and gloves? No. So, what did I do? I paid the price. My scabs are slowly fading away. But what's beautiful is this scar that's going away, this scratch, is also just like God. The grace. It goes away. And what's beautiful is he says, I will take your sins, where your failings, and I will place them in the sea of forgetfulness. God doesn't remember them. And so, if God doesn't remember them, they can't be held against me any longer. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Heavenly Father, as we leave this service, we ask, Lord, that we would remember that we are not leaving your presence, but your presence lives within us and goes with us. We ask that you would encourage us to seek your Holy Spirit's filling every day until it is overflowing. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.